Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Contineros podcast. The podcast is sponsored by PortPro, the leading operating system for drayage carriers. Schedule a demo at portpro.io. Check them out. If you're running an outdated system and want to step it up, maybe you hit a plateau, you're having trouble tracking your containers, you're having trouble booking appointments, get a hold of someone over at PortPro and step your game up. Episode 83, we got Santos Hernandez in the studio. Yo. He's the owner of 30 Hours LLC. And I'm definitely going to start it off by, what's up with that name? What does it mean? And how did you come up with it?
So first off, what up with everybody? The name comes from a song from Kanye West, 30 Hours. I was going through a really tough time in my life, and that time the album Life of Pablo came out, so I was really into it. And that song, for some reason, that song hit me the most. And when I was asked, hey, what are you going to name your company? Is it going to be like Santos Hernandez Trucking or SH or H Trucking? For some reason, it just came up 30 Hours. So I put 30 Hours because that song really resonated with me. And, you know, that's where it came from, that song, you know. And everybody asked me, and I just say the song, and, you know, people are like, what? But you know, it has a deep meaning. Yeah,
interesting name. What other song is your favorite from that album, and do you still like Kanye based on the news, you know?
No, of course, because I don't follow like trends, like, oh, he's this person, you can't like him. No, I like his music spoke to me, and it still speaks to me to this day. So like another song from that album is Famous. What else? Saint Pablo.
I love that one.
Which, Saint Pablo?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a good song. That album is, like I said, it's a very powerful album.
Yeah.
It helped me through a lot of things, and still does to this day. You know, when I'm feeling down or I'm feeling not grounded, I'll just put it on and I'll just kind of like escape, you know, and try to find my road again, you can say, my grounding.
Mm-hmm.
Something like that.
What other artists do you like, or what other music do you listen to?
I listen to everything. I'm so bored. I have a sound system in my truck, so I just, oh my god, like, I'm bored now, so I'll just start putting podcasts, your podcast.
Yeah.
I'll listen to scary stories, you know, because I'm just bored now, like, of music. I listen to everything because I have bass, so I'm just like bumping all the time.
Yeah.
But I like corridos a lot. What is it? Grupo Arriesgado. You know, stuff like that. Si Bien Bellicos, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Nuevos Rebeldes. You can go to the old stuff too, you know, like Chalino Sanchez, Vicente. You know, all those good stuff, you know.
Hey, what's that Bellico thing? What does that mean? Like, Bien Locos, or what does it mean?
I'm going to sound like a no sabo kid, but I think it means like Bien Así Bien Chala, like Chaca, you know, like. You know, the shirts.
Looking fresh
with, okay, like guns and stuff like that, like nice cars, you know, like, I call it the Downey special, put it like that.
The Downey special, bro. Why is that?
Because a lot of people there, like, you know, Downey has a lot of money, you know, like Pico Rivera. So, like, you always see people in, like, brand new G-Wagons. I see Bien Bellicos with the nice shirts, you know, like, Las Oparadas, you know, like the big butts and stuff like that, you know.
So. You quiero andar bien Bellico in a G-Wagon.
In a G, that's the
white body.
A white.
Brabus.
Brabus, yeah. Like, little baby. He has one. She's badass, bro.
I will see. Someday.
Someday, yeah. You know?
Cool. I'm in danger.
Yeah. I'm just getting over COVID.
COVID.
So the cough never went away, unfortunately.
Fuck.
Yeah.
Thanks for telling me on the podcast, not before. Yeah. I appreciate it.
Yeah.
Just want to tell my loved ones, it's been real, y'all.
Yeah.
All right. Question number one.
All right.
Can you share your journey of becoming an owner-operator, and what inspired you to make that move?
What inspired me was just trying to get a better future for myself and for my family, you know? It kind of just came about in a sense. I was always a driver, obviously. So what's it called? I was driving, and then I saved up a little bit of money. This was 2020, I want to say, when I was like, I'm going to buy a truck, you know? And so I asked my mom, I was like, hey, can you co-sign? Because I don't think I'm going to be able to buy a commercial vehicle, you know? And thankfully, she said, yeah. And we went to go looking at trucks, and I found one. And, you know, test drive, it was a T680, and I liked it a lot. It's a lot of truck for the ports, but I was like, you know, I'm gonna do the ports, and then I'm gonna start doing long haul, you know. And little did I know, my naive self. So so I was gonna pull the trigger on it.
What do you mean? When we don't know the context behind the, little did I know, where did that come from?
I thought it was all easy. I thought that it was all strawberry fields, you know. I was gonna get this work. We're gonna go straight ahead. I'm gonna make all this money.
We're trucking, baby.
yeah. So things happen. The market went. It's been going to shit. So, you know. But yeah, I thought I was gonna make all this money. I thought I was gonna be the successful G Wagon person, the Downey special. But Belico. Belico. But you know. So for some reason or another, I got offered a truck through the company that I was with. So I was a driver for an owner op who was the same thing, was buying a truck from them. And they offered me, they brought up the idea, and I thought it was cool. It was a way better offer than buying it on my own. And obviously I wouldn't have my own permits or my own insurance. I would be running under their authority. So I thought it was a way better opportunity. I didn't have to put any money down. You know, they already knew me. They didn't do a credit check. They just said, hey, you know, we have these trucks. Do you think you'd like the offer, you know? And I jumped on it. I said, yeah, let's do it, you know? And I got the truck, thank God. And I was doing already overweight, but as a driver. So I started doing overweight containers with my own truck. And I started my owner op journey like that, you know.
And owner op, but straight into the overweight game.
Straight into the overweight game, yeah. And at first, when I barely started trucking, I was doing regular containers. Mm-hmm. But that, you know, switched to overweight trucking, which was it's way better money. And then it's just a whole different game, I would say.
It does seem interesting. I hauled for heavyweight many years ago.
Right.
And there's some stuff to learn with that drop axle. So yeah. Since you brought that up, we're gonna resume with that question in regards to the drop axle.
Okay.
After I get you a motherfucking cough drop. So
yeah.
We're gonna take a cough drop break. Stand by, guys. And we're back. Soon to be cough free, moving forward.
Yeah.
All right. So you brought up the whole drop axle. That's what your first truck came with.
Yeah.
The one that you currently own still. And I had a question lined up about that, so I might as well get it out of the way now. It was your truck has a drop axle.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Tell us what opportunities or benefits come with that. And any fun facts or tips that we should know about that setup?
The benefits, obviously, you can get work with overweight containers, overweight loads. Let me scratch that. Overweight containers. I don't know about like loads, like heavy equipment or stuff like that. But obviously containers, that's the benefit. And then tips and tricks is just know what you're doing, because the CHP is on it and they don't play. If they see you with no banners on, no overweight banners, or your drop axle, and they'll pull you over. And they're not stupid. They know exactly what they're looking for. They do it every day. That's exactly what they're looking for. And yeah, obviously there's some guys out there that run dirty. They don't have time to drop their axle. They don't have time to put on their banners. But 1 minute can make the difference between a $5,000 ticket, you know what I mean, and a headache. So just how do you say, educate yourself on how to do it and make sure you're doing it, because you won't get caught today, you won't get caught tomorrow, but you will eventually get caught, and that cop is not gonna be nice, you know what I mean? He's not gonna be fucking around.
I took a overweight allegedly with no banners on the 710 all the way up to out of the route, pretty much. Those routes are stupid. I thought, like, I gotta go.
Yeah.
You know, and it was one of those long nights and just want to go to the yard with it. But yeah, I guess I got lucky, right?
Yeah. So, yeah, we're not innocent. We're not innocent. I mean, this is all hypothetical, but I know people who do, you know,
what they gotta do.
What they gotta do to make that quick money. So
let's also, am I wrong? I heard it's dangerous to, because sometimes, I'll admit, when I first got to drive one of those, I'll be showing off. I got to drop back to a bitch, you know, like drop it, you know, and I'll be empty.
Yeah.
But shit, I'll be hauling that chassis sometimes and I'll have that drop axle because they look cool to me.
You know?
The tri-axle 40 footer. I believe it was the tri-axle 40 footer. Maybe I'm bullshitting that part. Is there a tri-axle 40-footer?
There's a tri-axle 40-footer and a tri-20.
With the super singles. It's been a while. This was like 2013.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But it just looked cool, man. All those fucking axles, you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And, yeah. So, where was I? I think I lost my train of thought here.
Is it dangerous?
It's too much hauls, fumes, or vapor in the air.
It hits you, that haul.
Hitting the curbs with the drop axle on, but you're empty. So you hit a curb at a high speed and the suspension, let's say it's one of those curbs with like a slight dip.
Yeah.
So the minute you come up, it could lift your truck a bit or your skid out of control maybe. You know what I mean? Can you see that happening?
I've never experienced something like that. I've experienced where, and I was going slow, I was turning into a street. From a stop, I was turning into a street, and for some reason, when I was like mid turn, my truck just slid forward. Like, the front tires lost traction. I know the drop axle, it steers as well, but slightly. So I think that's what was going on. That something happened.
The angle
just tripped it out and made it go like straight instead of left. You know, it was weird. That scared me. But I was going slow, and I just take that to account now. If I do overweight, I take it to account. You know, hey, I might end up on the curb. So,
if you're okay sharing the numbers, how much extra on top of a load can a driver expect with drop axle loads?
So I'm gonna say it from my experience. I know, like, the company I was working with, they were paying like 110 from the port to like Manville right there in Compton
on top of the regular rate.
Oh no, that's a regular rate. So I'm gonna put like, okay, what do you expect from an overweight? So I know with an overweight container you can expect, because you can't go out of a certain mileage of the port. So let's say the port to Wilmington Carson area, which is still on the route, you can make upwards of 320. I've heard allegedly that you can make up to 600 per load if you have your own chassis. But as an owner op, you're using their chassis, I know you can make up to like 320 to 380 as of right now. As of
one way.
No, that's round trip. From the port to the warehouse, get unloaded, and then back to the port, that's like, let's say 380.
Okay.
And I mean, you do two a day and you're cool. You know what I mean? So yeah, it definitely brings more opportunities. You know what I mean? You don't have to stick to one certain area. You can say of the port.
Okay. You know? So you're happy with that selection of equipment?
Yeah, I like it.
You ended up with?
Oh yeah, I like it. It's a day cab. I like it. I'm not complaining. She's I know, to me, Cascadias are the workhorse. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So she's definitely, she hauls.
Why do a lot of people call them she?
I don't know. I mean, I'm going to say it again, but she's with me all day. She's
sounds like she has a name, bro. What's her name?
Well, my truck's name, her nickname is Vice City.
All right.
She's there with my headache. She's there when I'm happy. She's there when I'm eating. So she never leaves my side, put it like that. You know, she's a bit expensive, but it's okay.
Maybe in Bellica.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm learning.
In Bellica. Yeah.
Okay, next question. What are some of the biggest challenges you faced while running your own trucking business, and how did you overcome them?
Oof. Challenges, I guess, like no work, you know. You're told, hey, there's no work today. Hey, there's one load, you know. And it's been like that for a while. And then let's say you do that for about a month, and then you're like, Jesus Christ, I'm only making enough for what I'm spending that day in diesel, you know. And that's one of the challenges, no work, or work slows down pretty bad. That's what I mean. Mechanical stuff, you know, that's bound to always happen, you know, mechanical stuff. One little thing, you know, when a truck breaks down, you got to expect that it's going to be more than $1,000. That's from my experience. So just trucks breaking down, no work, work slowing down. That's about it, you know. Being on top, like as an owner op, you have to be on top of everything, your permit, your truck, you know, everything. You want to be straight, because if you miss this, it's going to lead into a bigger headache later down the road with fines and, you know, compliance issues. You know what I mean?
Are you mechanically inclined?
I've learned to change a few air hoses and like fittings.
Fuses?
That's it. Yeah, fuses, headlights.
But you've learned because you had to in the moment?
Yeah, because I'm right there with the mechanic while he's doing his thing. So I'm just like looking, you know, to like not call him when I need to do it again. But just later down the road, I want to save a few $100. You know, I can hopefully do it. You know?
There's nothing you've had to repair on the spot, like because you had no choice. Like, I need to learn how to siphon fuel. I need to do this. I need to. Well, you've been lucky so far.
On the spot. I mean, I replaced a few mud flaps. I've replaced a glad hand on the chassis on my truck. So stuff like that, you know, a little tip for little choo-choos out there. Carry a landing gear, like rip off one chassis that doesn't work, a landing gear.
I see you looking at my shit. Don't.
Yeah, it looks good. It's nice and compact.
It's bolted on there, bro. Don't be getting any ideas.
Yeah, get a landing gear. Keep it in your truck, because let's say your chassis, for some reason, the landing gear is broken or breaks off. It happened to me. I was doing a U-turn on 223rd. If you guys aren't familiar, 223rd and Wilmington Boulevard. I was doing a U-turn, and my glad hand on my chassis literally broke in half. So I'm like spilling air everywhere. My truck's blocking the entire street. And I'm crying. Oh my God, what am I going to do? The cops can't see me doing this. Like, this is bad. Luckily, I called my friend Armando. I was like, hey, where you at? He's like, oh, I'm at the warehouse. Dude, please tell me you have a glad hand right there. He's like, yeah, I got the next one. I was like, please come. So he came.
Which one was it?
The red one. Yeah.
Did you borrow the blue?
No.
You could have borrowed the blue in the moment.
Yeah. Well, I didn't know. So he came.
And then the blue, you only lose air when you press the brakes.
Ah.
As you're running, it's not leaking.
I don't know. It's happened to me where for some reason, the red has slipped out on the freeway right here on the 110.
Yeah, I hate it when that shit happens, man.
And I heard a bunch of air, and then I was like, oh, I got to pull over now. Mm-hmm. And I go all the way from the left to the right, and my chassis, as soon as I hit like the emergency, my chassis starts like like bouncing, because the wheels are locking up. So my friend comes, we replace the glad hand. Your landing gear on the end of it, where the bolts go, it's a perfect handle to remove a glad hand from a chassis. So keep those in mind. Keep that in your truck. Yeah, it's a perfect. And then you don't have to use the pliers. You don't, you know, it has so much levers that you can just pop it off like that.
Cool.
So if you guys are in a port and for some reason your chassis doesn't work with the glad hands, pull up to the reefers, pull up to the wheeled containers, and there you go. Little tip.
And if no one's watching, do no the right watching. Thing. Do the right thing and stop stealing those fucking grommets.
Here's what you got to do. You got to go to the wheel containers. You got to pull up right next to them and pull up your hood. Turn on your emergencies and make sure nobody's there. And then just go to town. Take it off real quick.
Allegedly.
Boom, boom. Allegedly. And then there you go.
There you go.
A little tip. That's what the port does to you. It makes you hustle. You know what I mean? It makes you a good liar because you got to lie to the clerk sometime. Like, oh, I was in line. Mm-hmm. What are you talking about? Mm-hmm. You know? So, yeah.
I think they caught on to all of us already. They're like, ustedes hacen pendejos.
I'm sorry. It's my first day. I'm lost.
Yeah, it's always your first day when you got to go.
Yeah. You know? So, you know. Better. So, yeah. So, yeah. Just tips and tricks, you know.
There's a lot of little tricks that, in my opinion, they're all burned out. Like the whole write your own BIT.
Yeah.
Put grease over the old BIT. Like when you're on the go, you know, carry your own spray paint, cover over the over all the red dots. The BO. Yeah, but
I mean,
just trying to survive, you know.
You're just trying to survive. You got to hustle, man. And when you're in a port, it's a hustle environment, you know, because 1 minute can mean the difference between an hour or more, you know. And if you're not taking advantage, somebody else is going to take advantage. You know what I mean? So why not take advantage yourself? Obviously, the way I see it is I'm very respectful. You know what I mean?
That's a hard thing to be in the port, bro. Yeah. Like it comes. Go ahead. Finish your sentence.
Okay. So I'm very respectful. I won't cut you off in front of you. But if I see that you're sleeping, bro, I'm taking advantage. You know what I mean? Because it's I'm going to eat. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I'm going to eat. And if I see there's an opening, I'm going to take it. Mm-hmm. You know, straight up. And I have had really good tents on my window. So you can bang on my door. You can bang on my window. Bro, you ain't going to see me. I'm going to lock my doors and you can go to town. Unhook my chassis. I don't care. I'll hook it back up. You know what I mean? But I'm getting my little.
Catch you outside, though.
Well, you can do that. And we'll cross that bridge. At the end
of the day, it's not worth it, though.
It's not worth it. Look, violence is not worth it.
Every time that at the end, I feel like I made a fool of myself getting angry over some stupid shit. At the end of the day, we're all trying to eat, right? And it gets tense in there.
It gets hella tense.
But then it's like, damn, I literally could have fucking died over some stupid shit.
Yeah, I've never been in altercation with a trucker, but with a clerk, I have. There was one time where I never got in a fist fight, but I, you know, screaming at each other, calling each other names. I was at Costco, and at Costco, I guess the flip line always changes, which I think is dumb.
Yeah.
So at this night, it was on Highline. So I didn't know where Highline, this is the first time I ever heard of Highline. So I was like, where the hell is Highline? You know, I'm looking for a line that's high. So, so I'm driving around and I got chassis on me and I asked a clerk. First I asked the clerk, hey, how's it going? I'm looking for the flip line.
Fuck you.
No, he was cool. He was like, yeah, it's in Highline. Highline what? No, it's Highline, C. So I'm like, oh, okay. And I'm like, hey, where is that? And he's like, yeah, just go straight down. It's over there. And I'm like,
great. Well,
great. I'll go down there. So I went down there. Didn't find it. So I go around again. And I see a clerk. And I'm like, hey, excuse me. You know, like, excuse me. He's like, what do you want? He's in a little truck. I'm like, I'm looking for Highline, man. Like, can you help me? He's like, it's over there, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, what else do you want? I'm like, well, you don't have to be a cunt about it. And he's like, what? I was like, I said, you don't have to be a cunt about it. I'm asking you for help, bro. Like, what's up, dude? You know, I was like, he's like, man, fuck you. All you truckers are the same, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, I'm asking you for help, man. Like, you're being a bitch to me, bro. Like, why? I was like, man, like. And then I started going, it was my fault too. I was like, man, you guys think you're so tough, blah, blah, blah. Like, he's like, man, I'll fuck you up, blah, blah, blah. I was like, all right. I unlocked my door. I'm standing. I'm like, open my door. I was like, open my door. So when the cameras or somebody around here, they ask for witnesses, they're going to be like, you open my door. You really want to fight me? You want it? You want these hands? I'll give you these hands. And he's like, nah, you fucking bitch. I'm like, blah, blah, blah. I was like, just open. I was mad. I was actually mad. So I was like, just open my door. I'll open the fucking door. And he's like, you know what? Wait right here. And I was like, bro, you're a bitch. You're going to call security. So I put it in drive and vamonos. So I found Highline. It's right next to the water. That's what I mean. Highlines is right next to the water where the ship's at.
I can already predict you didn't get your load that day. Well, but keep going.
Well, I pulled up to Highline. There was like about three trucks. I was like, hey man, is this Highline? He's like, yeah. I was like, all right, cool. I bust a bitch real quick. Turn off all my lights. Take off my vest. Take off my glasses. And I have a shiesty. I don't know if you're familiar with a shiesty. I have a full, like a ski mask. Mm-hmm. So I put it on. Turn off all my lights. I kid you not. This guy and two other security guards, I see him smashing. And they're looking for me. They're looking. They go around. They pass my truck. Go all the way around. Nothing. So the guy, I guess in the heat of the moment, wasn't paying attention to my banners, my placards or nothing. So, yeah, I got away with it, you know.
But your truck stands out. It's a bright green.
But it was dark. It's dark. You know, you're mad. You're more focused on me than the truck. Yeah. You know what I mean? So I just, and there's day caps too. So it's dark, you know, so it's like, whatever, you know. So I got away with it, thankfully. But it's not always like that. Sometimes you don't get away with it. You know what I mean?
Do you feel you're at a disadvantage? Would that have frustrated you if they did catch you and kicked you out? Do you think you deserve to get kicked out or not?
I obviously talked back to them, but the thing is, I believe in respect. And we're all on the same boat. At the end of the day, we're all on the same boat. I'm asking you for help. Obviously, there's a level of respect there because I'm asking you for advice, help, and guidance. So you don't... I understand maybe your job's hard. You're dealing with truckers too as well. But it's like, don't be a dick to me. Like, I'm just asking you for advice, like, or directions. You know what I mean? And yeah, I mean, obviously, they're always going to believe the longshoremen, you know, because it's like the police. Who's the judge going to believe more? The cop. So the security's going to believe the longshoremen more. You know what I mean? So yeah, I'm pretty sure I would have got kicked out, you know, what, like a 30-day ban, $100 fine.
Yeah.
It's part of it. It's part of the game. I never had issues at Costco. That's Costco. But recently, I got banned for life, which was weird because they said that I took out a container past the security gate. And if you've been to Costco, you know that you go through the outgate and you go through the outgate, you know, either the what is it? The security thing opens up and says, driver, you're good to go. Mm-hmm. Then you go to the security gate. Well, it said, driver, you're good to go.
Driver.
Yeah, exactly.
I still remember
it wakes
that.
You up. Yeah. So I go into the security gate, and I remember specifically, you have to, when you have a load, you have to put in your driver's license. They take a picture of it. I did it. The guy just waves me through. And I'm like, okay, cool. I go back about 2 weeks later, and I go in. Drop an empty, load out. I go in. They gave me my spots, but they didn't give me my load out spot. So I just went to go drop the empty. I was like, I'm just going to come back to the trouble window. So I'm on the phone. I'm like, hey, how's it going? You know, it gave me my empty in spot, but my loadout, it's not giving me a spot. And they're like, yeah, you're banned. You're banned for life. And I'm like, what? I'm like, why? She's like, you ran the security. I was like, that's not possible. Like, that's first off, I'm not trying to do like some federal crime. You know what I mean? I was like, when was this? She's like, yeah, about 2 weeks ago. And I was like, no. I was like, I remember specifically he told me to go ahead. She's like, yeah, you're banned.
Plot twist. The guy that let you out was the guy you argued with back in the day.
He turned into the security.
You didn't notice it because you were in a rush to get out.
So I was there for like an hour on the phone with like her. And then I had to call dispatch and then her. So at the end of the day, they didn't tell me I was banned. They told me that my plates were not registered to the port. And I was like, that's weird because I'm in and out of the ports every day. They're like, yeah, your plates are registered to Alabama. You know, we can't let you out. So after an hour, they finally gave me my spot. The dispatch called them on e-modal. They fixed it, whatever. So I got my load. I come back about like 2 days later, whatever. Empty in, load out. No problem. I come back the next week and same thing. They don't even want to set my empty. I go to a trouble window. I'm like, hey, I had this issue before. The trouble window told me just to say my truck's from California. So they're like, yeah, that's a problem, but also you're banned for life. Indefinitely. And what's it called? So I'm like, this is ridiculous. Like, I don't know why I'm banned. I've never had an issue here. And I didn't run a security gate. It's not possible. You know, and for, it's a federal crime. So they're like, yeah, they checked the cameras and you did run it. And I was like, you can tell if there's cameras inside, you can see the security going like this. And I put in my ID. So they're like, yeah, you gotta, I was like, look, is there any way I can talk to like a manager or somebody in charge? Because I think this is extremely ridiculous. Like, I have never had an issue here. So they're like, yeah, you got put in by the manager, blah, blah, blah. I'm going to see if he wants to talk to you. So I was like, please. So I tell him, I said, please. So they gave me a number, called right away. Hey, is this Mark, whatever. He's like, hey, how's it going? I was like, hey, you know, obviously you know who I am, Santos. I'm trying to figure out what's going on because I get my load and then I don't get my load. So it's like, what's going on? First, I'm told that my truck's not registered in California, and then I'm told that I ran a security, which is impossible. They're like, yeah, you know, the security that day reported your truck that you ran it, you know, and we checked the cameras. And I was like, whoa, that's impossible. I said, because I put in my ID.
Then show me the cameras.
Exactly. That's exactly what I said. So I put in my ID. I looked at him straight in the eye and he said, go like this. He waved me through. Good to go, right? So he's like, yeah. I'm like, if you check, I was like, can I see the cameras? Because I know I didn't run it. He's like, ah, you know, I got to check them again, see what's up. I'm like, oh, please do. Because I, you know, I'm just trying to make a living, you know? And he's like, yeah, let me call you back in 10 minutes. And meanwhile, I'm in trouble parking. I'm just sweating. I'm calling dispatch saying, hey, you know, I'm trying to figure out what I can do here, you know? And get a call back. He's like, hey, Santos, after reviewing the cameras, you're good to go. Just fix the California plate thing. And I was like, thank you so much. I didn't want to say nothing else because I didn't want to jeopardize anything. You know, he fixed it.
Yeah.
He took off the ban. There is nothing to fix because my truck's registered in California. So it was on their end, on Costco's end, that I guess their system thinks that I'm in Alabama, that I'm not registered. But like I said, I was in and out of the ports every day. No problem. Peary, automated, you know, was a tray pack, trash pack. Automated, you know. It just Costco was the one that was giving me issues with the
maybe
the
when you went in, like the way you asked for it, I got a load in and load
no? No, like because
you... El acento de Alabama.
Maybe.
Never mind, bad joke.
They see the blonde.
This is the part where I'm at the crickets. But I think there should be better communication, especially now that there's more people registered as business owners with their own authorities. When it comes to something serious like that, I think you should be notified. There should be a way to let you know directly.
Yeah.
And not the company that the well, there's the tricky part because you probably pulled that out under another SCAT code.
Yeah, different companies.
So they're probably the ones that got notified, I'm assuming. I don't know. I'm just brainstorming here. But regardless, your plates are tied into that and your truck is registered in the system. So
yeah,
it should trigger like some kind of notification to the owner of that truck.
Yeah.
So that you don't invest time in a long ass line and then find out that you're banned.
Yeah,
and,
exactly.
And not only that, like I identify, clearly describe why the ban and what you could do to, you know, fix the issue.
Yeah.
Because that's kind of, I think that's messed up that, oh, I choose to ban you. Cool.
And right?
Just because. If you're responsible, then take accountability and so be it. But other than that, I think that's something to improve on, right?
Yeah. Accountability and just communication. All your ban, adios, pay the fee. You know what I mean? But it's just like, there's no, I feel like there's just a power trip with the ports.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, just the ports. That they just... get the fuck out of here, man. You know what I mean?
I think it's just so much volume, like traffic, you know? And you're just another number at that point.
That's what you are.
And maybe... Yeah,
another truck.
I don't know. But I do know that I got question number 3 right here.
Let's do it.
Tell us about a memorable experience you've had that taught you something valuable, either in trucking or just in your life.
Patience and in the preparation. I've always said, hey, this year is gonna be my year. This year I'm getting that G-Wagon this year, you know? And something happens that changes everything, holds you way back. So just preparation and patience, because you know we want it now, you know what I mean?
That's right.
And sometimes in life it doesn't happen now, and you can believe in God, you can believe in the universe, you can believe in the owl, but it's how do you say it, when it's time, it's time, and you know it's gonna happen. Obviously hard work, long nights, early mornings, but if you really want what you want, then you're gonna get it, you know, and you gotta prepare to get it and prepare how to get it, you know what I mean? If you read, if you're into audiobooks or psychology in general, I suggest reading, what was it, the 48 Laws of Power.
Mm-hmm.
There's a Laws of Power. What the fuck am I saying?
It is that, the 48 Laws of Power.
Yeah, there's a law there where...
By Robert Greene, I believe.
It's a very good book, a very powerful book. There's a law there that says to prepare not for success, but prepare for failure. Because in that sense, you'll be able to, how do you say it, avoid anything that can go wrong. You'll be able to avoid it. You know what I mean? So that's a very good law. That's a very good teaching. Prepare for the worst, put it like that.
Mm-hmm.
And patience, you know, you'll get there. You know, if you have your mind right and, you know, you have your eyes on the prize, then you'll get there, you know. So
what's something you want right now that obviously it seems you and I have that trait that we're impatient?
Yeah, I'm very impatient.
So what is it you want now that you kind of are, it's putting the patience to the test?
For me, money's
is
everything.
Is it a secret?
No. Well, I can't say certain things. Okay. I'll get a me pegan. No. I love you. Just freedom, man. Just financial freedom. That's always been my goal. Obviously, I want the well-being of my family. That comes always first, you know. But I know if I'm okay, then they'll be okay as well. You know what I mean? Yeah. They always benefit from... At the end of the day... I benefit, but they benefit the most because, you know, it's for their future as well, you know. So just financial freedom, I guess. Oh, no, money, bro, money.
I mean, people say it's not everything, but
it's not, but
you can't do much without it.
Yeah, it makes your life way easier. You know what I mean? Because I've been eating, I've been in the point where I've been eating fucking mac and cheese from 99 all week straight, you know what I mean? So, and then it's compared to like eating In-N-Out, you know, it's way better, you know. So be smart with your money. Mm-hmm. People say don't chase the money. Don't be somewhere where you're not happy, because I've been in situations where people are just fucking miserable and you can tell, but they're just doing it for the check, you know what I mean? So do something that makes you happy.
Does trucking make you happy right now?
Yeah, it's a passion of mine. I love trucking. I miss it when I'm not doing it, and I hate it when I'm doing it. So, I love it. It makes me happy. I don't want to do it all my life, but it definitely runs in me. My mom was a trucker. My dad was a trucker.
Your mom was a trucker?
Yeah. Back in the early 2000s, 90s.
Ports or just over the road? Or?
They were doing ports.
Oh.
Because they were here, based in Wilmington. So, okay. So they're, I don't remember. I haven't talked to my mom like that, but. It was the ports, had to be the ports.
Hmm.
And they would go up to Washington. And believe it or not, what, in 1990, a run to Washington or Oregon was like $600. That's what they were getting paid. She showed me a sheet, and they were getting paid like $600 to like the border of Oregon and California. So back to here. Mm-hmm. So I thought that was crazy, you know.
But I mean, the hot Cheetos were 25 cents the bag, yeah. Or 50 cents.
Good times.
Or,
Yeah, I remember chips were $1.25, then $1.50, and then I was like, that's too expensive. $1.75 is too much.
You remember you used to go to the liquor store or whatever liquor market? Store, they had the little versions of the chips.
The little versions, like, yeah. Like two for a dollar.
You mix and match, you know?
Yeah, now they're like two for like $2.
With the cherry soda.
Yeah.
In that big-ass white styrofoam cup.
Yeah, that was good times, man.
Pizza pockets.
Just, yeah.
How do you stay motivated during these trucking conditions? Oof. Any tips for other drivers that are going through it?
How do I say more of it?
Because regardless if it's your passion or not, like, you can't avoid, you know,
hating it. Yeah.
The circumstances that you're under, right? So.
Homelessness. I don't want to be homeless. Nah.
The bills.
Nah, bills. That's the biggest motivation. Just don't give up. That's how I see it. Don't give up, because if you give up now, this is the way I see it. Like, let's say you have a goal. And you started your goal. Your goal is to lose 50 pounds in 6 months. Cool. You'll do it. And let's say you go to the gym tomorrow, and the next day you're like, I don't want to do this. This is too hard. Believe it or not, you're closer to your goal than what you were yesterday when you weren't doing it. So I might not see the goal as soon as possible, but I know at the end of the day, if I tough it out, I'll be there. And I always say, a year from now, you're going to be laughing at this. And it's the truth.
Yeah.
It's heavy stuff right now. It sucks right now. But just remember, you're still alive, bro. If it was really bad, that bad, you'd be dead. You'd be homeless. But no, you still got your truck. You still got this. Sometimes it's not like that. But you still have food in your belly. So just tough it out and you'll get there. You know what I mean? Better days will come. You know, sunny days, you know.
Write it out.
It's a big ass fucking, you know what, but write it out.
What advice would you give someone crazy enough to consider becoming an owner operator?
Be sure you really want to do it, because it ain't for everybody. I'm gonna tell you that it ain't for everybody. Be, like I said, prepared for the hardships, because there are hardships. And just know what you're getting yourself into. If you have family or friends that are already into trucking, that's a big step, because they might be able to get you into where they're at. So you don't have to struggle on finding work.
Mm-hmm.
But if you don't, like I said, just start preparing. Start preparing and start really educating yourself on how being an owner works. And there's YouTube, there's Google, but on YouTube you always get those stupid videos like, I make 100,000 in a month, and I hate those videos. All because the
clickbait.
Yeah, I hate those videos because it's just like, it's showing, yeah, I made this much, but they're not showing you the reality of it. They're not showing, this month might have been well, but the next 3 months are gonna be horrible. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, just educate yourself. I recommend it, but know the beast you're gonna be facing. You know what I mean? And at the end of the day, it pays off. If you're smart, if you're not dumb with money, it's going to pay off. Like, very good. You know what I mean?
Maybe share some expectations versus reality experiences that you encountered. Because I know a lot of them have expectations. I'm going to get my truck, and the money's just going to pour in. Everybody's going to want to give me loads.
Yeah.
And
yeah, I guess that's one of the expectations. Like, I'm going to make all this money. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. But work slows down, your truck breaks down, and that, it just sucks. You know what I mean? So that's expectation. Like, you're gonna be so successful on day one. You ain't gonna be successful on day one. You're gonna do well, but something always happens. And the reality is, the reality is life hits, you know, the truck hits, you know what I mean? Something like that.
How important are negotiation skills that you go on board as a, stepping it up to a business owner?
Yeah, they're very important. You have to be able to know, I guess, negotiation skills are very important, because you're able to put a worth on yourself and not devalue your work. Because you're providing a service, and your service is worth a certain amount. And if you go under that certain amount, you start going into the negative. Like, you don't make money. Let's say you do a load, and the load pays a certain amount, and it's cheaper than what you expect or what's your bottom line. So you go cheaper because you have to. Now you're falling into the negative because fuel, because a tire blowout, because of this, X, Y, and Z. So negotiation skills, if you don't negotiate, people are just going to give you a rate and deal with it. You know what I mean? And you, as an owner-op, have power at the end of the day. You provide us a very valuable service. So, you know, negotiate your worth. You know what I mean? Don't devalue yourself. you know.
You think a large amount of the new owner ops are dictating what they make, or someone is doing it for them?
I think that's a double-sided question, because you come in and then a company doesn't want to give you a certain amount, and then you go to another company and they might go a few dollars up, but it's still low. So me as an owner op, I want to make a certain amount, but nobody wants to give me that certain amount. So I think
right? Because you're an owner op, you're going to be like, I'm going to tell them what I want and I'm going to get it. But there's...
No. Okay, bye. You know, there's 30 other owner ops that will do it for cheaper. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You have power, but then you have these people who don't care. And, you know, on Instagram, on Facebook, you'll go to the groups and people will put loads for this amount. And then you'll always have somebody saying, oh, that's too cheap, blah, blah, blah. And then you'll have somebody saying, well, I'm doing the load. I'm doing 10 a week, 10 a month. Well, you can do those loads, but in 5 months, I guarantee you, you're going to be under. You know what I mean? So us as truck drivers, we have to be able to put our foot down and be like, no, this is financially irresponsible, you know, in the long run. Short term, you get your money, but in the long run, you make no profit. You know what I mean? So it's just...
Good to know your numbers, because not all money is good money.
Yeah, and know the routes. Ask around, ask a trucker. Don't be shy to ask for advice, you know? Hey, how much do you pay in Ontario? Hey, how much do you pay Las Vegas? And then just, you know, okay, you get this much, you get this much. Let's find a medium and let's go from there, you know? And if somebody says no, then all right, cool. Good luck. And, you know, let's keep going, you know? Something like that.
I mean, that's how it should be. It's in everyone's best interest that the people coming into the game know what's up. Otherwise, they're going to come in and fuck it up.
Yeah, they think a certain rate is normal.
You think excluding them and not putting them on game is to your benefit, but it's hurting you in the long run, because
it is.
You know, they're going to switch up the numbers.
Yeah, and I hate people who keep information, who don't want to help the fellow trucker. You know, because at the end of the day, like I said, we're all in the same boat. You know, we're all getting bent over in the port. We're all getting bent over by CHP, by the laws and all this. So if I see that you're asking me for help, I'm going to help you, because I don't care. You're not going to affect me. You know, I want you to get ahead, you know, so it's like, whatever, do your thing. As long as you're not messing with me, it's okay. You know what I mean? So I hate people who are like, oh, just figure it out. It's like, fuck you, man. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
there's different types of people. There's some that have, they took it personal that they weren't helped on their way up.
Yeah.
So now that they're there, they don't, well, this is how I got here. So it's now you good. Do the same, you know?
It's not good, man.
And then some people think that it'll devalue the whole worth of being there. Like, what I mean by that is that if you have it easy, then you're not going to really, like, take it serious when you're up top. Like,
yeah.
You know what I mean?
I mean, but you're nobody to, like, that person, you're nobody to judge. You know what I mean? You started off just like I started off. So, and there's 100 other dudes starting off. So, what difference does it make if I'm successful? If I'm not, those dudes might be. Mm-hmm. So, you got 100 other people, you know? So, it's like, come on, man.
And this game is really, it's a small world. The person you give a load to today could be the one giving you work tomorrow.
Yep, I've seen it.
Like, don't burn no bridges.
Nope, don't burn bridges. But also, don't burn my bridges. You know what I mean? Because I've been in situations where, we love you, Santos. You're so helpful. Oh, my God. Thank you for helping us. Work slows down. Hey, how's it going? What's up? Is there work? Yeah, there's work. Just wait 1 week. There's work. Then nobody picks up. And then when work starts picking up, and thankfully you're somewhere else, they're blowing up your line because they're desperate. But they didn't appreciate you. So it's like, I sound like I want too much, but appreciate me and I'll appreciate you. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Just you know, don't burn bridges.
What if they genuinely didn't have the work?
Well, at least tell me.
Then they shouldn't take it personal when you found the way.
They shouldn't take it personal because motherfucker, you didn't answer my phone. You know what I mean? So, or at least communication. Communication wins wars, man. Tell me, hey, you know what, Santos? There's no work. You know, we'll call you when there is. But there's no work. Start looking somewhere else. That's cool. I understand. Mm-hmm. But don't fucking ignore my calls. You know what I mean? Because, or my text. you know, because that's annoying. That's annoying. And then when you start blowing up my line, you know what I mean? Don't burn bridges. In this, excuse me, working the ports, you see everybody every day. It's a small world, believe it or not.
Hey, ahorita salió premio o no?
Yeah, you see,
you don't get it. Never mind.
I get it.
All right, we'll change. Go.
So yeah, so you see everybody at the port every day, even though there's like 30,000 of us. You know who's who. You see the truck, you're like, oh, I seen that guy the other day. So don't burn your bridges. I know a lot of people who, especially with like mechanics or tire guys, don't burn your bridges, bro, because it'll be 3 a.m. and nobody answers but that person, and you know that person will answer. But if you don't, if you did them dirty, it's gonna roll over on you. I know people who have been like that, who, oh, I don't want to pay, this is too much, blah, blah, blah. Pay the guy and move on. Go to a different place. You know what I mean? Because burning bridges in this industry, man, like, it goes a long way. And your reputation will definitely get tarnished, you know? Company doesn't want to work with you, and now their companies that they work with don't want to work with you. You know what I mean?
You're trying to go from 30 hours to 0 hours.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
That's why I'm not a comedian.
Yeah.
But do you have any regrets in becoming a trucker? Was there ever anything else you wanted to do before being exposed to this? By your parents, I'm going to add. Maybe they influenced it. I don't know.
Well, I wanted to be a lawyer.
Hmm.
But that was way too much money. And I just started washing dishes, doing things on the side here and there.
Yeah.
And then I don't remember how I started, like how the thought came into my head. Obviously my parents were truckers, but that was way back when. They're way over that, you know?
They're not active.
No, okay. No. They're hella retired. To answer the regrets question, I don't have any regrets. Well, I don't like living with regrets because it holds you back. But I will say this. Don't take it as a joke, because I took it as a joke. And I would come in, make enough for my truck payment, and make $1,000 every Friday for myself. And I took it as a joke. And I had to learn a very hard lesson that this is not a joke. You know what I mean? This is not forever. You know, work is not forever. So don't take it as a joke, because it will bite you really hard. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Yeah.
So you had a close call on some
no
finance scares on the edge?
Essentially. Many times. But this one, I was the big boss, Santos, and I was like, I wanted to help out a friend, a colleague.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, hey, you know, let me drive your truck. I'm like, yeah, sure. It's the start of, this was 2022. It was the start of the year. Literally January 3rd, January 4th. And I was like, yeah, for sure. No problem. I got you. Drive my truck. And 50-50, whatever. 3 days in, crashes my truck.
Mm.
And I'm like, fuck. So he calls me. I'm washing my personal car. I'm happy as hell. I'm the boss.
Yeah.
And hey, man, I crashed your truck. And I'm like, nah, what's up? You're playing with me. He's like, no, I crashed your truck. I was like, nah, dude, stop playing with me, you know? And he's like, no, I'm serious. I'm outside of Yangming. I crashed your truck, bro. I was like, how bad is it? He's like, well, the front end's gone.
No mas.
And what's it called? Oh, I might get teary-eyed, because you learn a lot from experiences in life, you know? So, I got in the car, hopped over there, and yeah, my front end was gone. My radiator was crushed. He hit a container. So, yeah, he hit a truck exiting. So I was like, it's going to be like $2,000, the hood and the radiator, no big deal. So I was going to take it to a mechanic in the company I was with. The head guy was like, hey, I know a shop. If you want me to help you, we can put it there. And I was like, yeah, for sure. Any help, yeah? So they take the truck, and it's there from January to November.
What the fuck?
From January to November, it is in the shop.
That's bullshit.
Mm.
This truck you have now?
This truck that I have now, 30 hours, Vice City, yeah. She is in the shop for, what, 6 months, 7 months? No, I don't know how long, but
Well, keep going.
So
I need to know more.
Their excuse was parts are being delayed. China this, China that. And obviously it was true. A lot of things got delayed crazy. From what I thought, it was just going to be the hood and the turbo and the radiator. No big deal. I thought it was going to be like $3,000 the most. I was like, I'll do it. So they came with the estimate and it was like $23,000. The insurance obviously was going to pay it. But $23,000 because a lot of brackets, a bunch of wires got messed up. The computer needed recalibrating from the hit, something like that. So it was there from November, from January to November.
They might have milked it a bit. Oh, I'm just saying.
Yeah, of course. But that's the insurance company. So this whole time, I'm wondering what I'm going to do with my life. Thankfully, there's somebody at the yard who had work, who had a truck that I can jump in. Shout out to Jamaica. He let me run with him for about 3 or 4 months.
At what point did that happen? Immediately or in November?
No. So I sat at home for like a month mm-hmm. and a half doing nothing. And after that, I was like, I need to work. So I started looking around. Hey, do you have work? Do you have work? Nobody had, you know, they were barely making up for themselves. So how are they going to afford me? So I started doing like work. I started helping out my mom. She has a business. So I started helping out there. And then I was like, dude, I need a truck drive. So I would call the shop like about every month. Right. So I started driving. I got my truck like, how do you say it? Like 3 months before I got my truck, I started working with Jamaica. I was just doing whatever, you know. And I would call every month. Hey, is my truck ready? No, we're waiting on the part, blah, blah, blah. So when I started driving from Jamaica, I started driving as a driver, doing this. I was making, thankfully, money. And I started calling every day in November. I got it like November, right before my birthday. I got, so like October, November, I was calling every day. Hey, what's going on with the parts? What's this? What's this? And they got annoyed. But I was like, hey, I don't want to annoy you guys, but yeah, exactly. I was like, you have to understand. like, this is my truck, man. Like, I need it. Eventually, they called me. Hey, your truck's ready. Cool, let's do it. So I went to go pick up my truck. And that was how many months? Whatever months, amount of months before I started working with Jamaica was a very strong experience in my life. Because I learned, because like I said, I would take everything as a joke. And I realized this is not forever. I don't know if you guys, there's a song by J. Cole, 1985, where he mm-hmm. says, I use it kind of like a reference where one day those kids are going to grow up and what made you blow up is going to be like owed to them. Mm-hmm. So, and the money's not forever. So the money isn't forever. Like so I took it as a joke and those months were very hard, very hard. And, you know,
was making the decision to hire a driver part of not taking it serious?
Yeah, because
you didn't go in it with like a plan, like I'm gonna get a driver. It was experimental, or
it was half experimental and half I'm gonna just chill back and drink pina coladas all day. I'm the boss. You know what I mean? That's how unserious I was. But that, like I said, that was a very, and nothing towards the driver, nothing towards him, you know. Mm-hmm.
Describing just the experience of going through the aftermath of that accident.
And
things that could go wrong when you have a driver.
A lot can go wrong if you have a driver. They can crash, somebody crashes into them, this and that. So, you know.
Would you try it again?
I've been offered many times, hey, let me drive for you. But I'm not going to lie, I'm traumatized by it. It's a headache, man. It's a headache when they crash. And I'm not like, I guess you can say, juiced up in a sense, like with shops, like body shops. The only body shop I know is the one that it was there. So yeah, it's just traumatizing. I do want to get a truck by the end of the year. But you know, I already have somebody in mind. But it's a maybe, obviously, with things, the way things are going. But having a driver, there's a lot of risk, but there's also a lot of rewards too. If you get somebody who's dedicated and is a hard worker and respects you, the truck and himself, you're good to go. You know, I know a guy with 5 drivers and they're all crazy. They're all like crazy to the point. You know what I mean? They're just driving day and night, you know, and it's dudes who are serious, you know, and, you know, not messing around. You know what I mean? So just got to find the right people to have on your team, you know?
Yeah, and it's not for everyone. Some people just are okay with being an owner-operator and having their numbers good, you know? Like, a lot of owner-operators make really good money that know how to run their shit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, so there's a little bit of everything. There's all these little categories within all these areas.
I mean, if you're doing good, just...
Entire companies doing horrible, and there's also companies doing, you know, this sounds pretty... Generally speaking, right? Like, it's very obvious. There's ups and downs, you know, and all, but literally that's how it is. Like, de todo hay in the mix. So there's shitty owner ops. There's responsible owner ops. There's irresponsible owner ops.
Yeah. And just,
there's some that get a DUI and then they're no longer owner ops.
It happens, man. But you know, you learn from your experience, and the best advice I can give you is, like, if you are trying to be successful, look at the successful people. I'm not talking about fulano de tal, this and that. No, I'm talking about dudes you see actually in the game and, you know, doing it. You know, I have two people that I look up to, and I always ask them for questions. I look up to them, like, as inspiration and motivation, you know, because I know it's not easy to grow, you know, because you have up and downs, and these people have done it, and I look up to them because I know if they can do it, I can do it. And I always ask for advice. I ask for, like, hey, what would you do in this situation? You know what I mean? And yeah, guidance.
If you could change one thing about trucking, what would it be and why? Like, you have the power. Like, whatever you say right now, it's like it'll happen.
All right.
So what would that thing be? Well, we're all counting on you, Santos. What are you going to do for us? What's that one thing you're going to change?
I don't know.
And we're fucked. He's not changing nothing.
Give me the money. Nah. I would say the taxes. The taxes, like, they'll be taxing us, like the fees, like the new CARB thing, you have to pay a fee. I know they want to do a mileage fee, so it's just ridiculous. Like, the amount of fees we pay, you know, it's just ridiculous. So, that.
Fair enough. Fuck fees. The unjustifiable fees. Just.
Yeah.
Flooding with fees.
But, do you know who else doesn't like fees? Poor Pro. Yeah.
If you could go back to your rookie day, fresh out of trucking school, what would you do differently?
I wouldn't do it differently.
Wait, did you go to trucking school?
I did. Okay, Harbor Trucking School.
Okay, that's where I went to.
Yeah, I got a story.
Class of 2006, what's up?
I'm a class of 2019. I have a story about them. Nothing wrong with them. I wouldn't change nothing, because if it wasn't for the decisions that I made and were made for me, I wouldn't be where I'm at here, you know? It's been definitely a weird road. With trucking school, I was washing dishes before I went to trucking school. Like I said, I don't remember. I'm going to be a trucker. I don't remember, you know? So I think my mom told me.
That's odd.
It is odd. But I remember my mom told me, she's like, why don't you get your license? I was like, yeah, I guess. Yeah. So I looked around, and then I saw Harbor Trucking School, and I went, and I asked for information and all that stuff, and they gave me the deposit, you know, put it down a deposit, we'll give you the answers, you study the cheat sheet, and then you go. So I did that.
What's the new prices?
I'm not sure what the new prices. I asked about, when did I ask? I asked in April of last year, and they were asking $2,500 and $2,000, and that basically...
And that's not bad. No. I paid $1,000 in 2006.
I paid $1,500, and that was like the top of the line choice that they had, which gave me like 3 tries at the DMV driving, and more hours in a week to practice. So I passed the test. At first I went by myself. I was like, man, fuck the school, I don't need them. Don't do that. Don't do that. Just go. Just study and make sure you're doing it.
What are the challenges if you didn't go through the school?
I went in it blinded. So I was like, you know, the test is going to be like the driving test, common sense question. Well, you get there, and those air brake questions are not easy if you don't know what you're thinking or you don't know what you're testing about. General knowledge, combination vehicles, it's no joke. Some people pass it reading the book. No hate at them. You can do it. I'm a little bit retarded. So
you sounded like Alex Jones, yeah, exactly. Right now.
So
I gotta tell you something, Rob.
So fucking
I'm kind of
retarded. So what's it called? So I went to the school. I told them, hey, you know, I want to be a truck driver. Blah blah. They gave me the cheat sheet. I passed the test, thankfully. So I went back. And this also, again, taking it out as a joke, not maturing. What's it called? So I went and they gave me Monday, Wednesday, and Friday to go. Those are my days, like at from 9 to 10, right?
Yeah.
So the thing is, I would work those days and I would work in the mornings. So I tried fixing it and I did, I was able to fix sometimes, but mm-hmm. you know, schedules and people like that. So I would miss school days. And it was like that for like a month. I would miss like 1 or 2 days in the month, 3 days. And the guy, one day I showed up like 30 minutes late. And the guy told me, he was like, hey, man, I got to talk to you, Santos. He's like, look, man. He's like, what do you want to do in life? He's like, clearly you don't want to do this.
Who, the instructor?
The instructor, oh. The guy. He's like, clearly you don't want to do this. He's like, you miss days. You come in late. He's like, what do you do right now? I'm like, oh, I'm washing dishes. He's like, you're going to stay doing that. So are you happy there? I'm like, nah, this is why I'm doing this. He's like, right now, you have to make a decision right now. Either you continue your life the way it is now, washing dishes, or later on, you're going to be a busboy and whatnot. Or you can be serious and take this as serious and start coming to class and start taking your future serious. So that really opened my eyes. You know, I was like, you know what, dude, this is serious. So it was like 2 months. That was like the first month, right? So it was 2 months. I did 3 months of school. And I just said, you know what, you're right. So I would go to school and I would ask for the days. Hey, Monday, I got to go to school. I can't come in to work. Oh, it's going to be a no-show. I was like, you know what, that sucks. What can you do? Fire me. So I started going to school, started learning, you know, the maneuvers, the inspection. And the funny thing is I never drove a truck on the street. I would do the maneuvers and it got to a point where they're like, hey, do you want to start coming like in the afternoon to shadow people, to shadow a class? It was one-on-one, so it wasn't multiple. It was very personal. I was like, yeah. He's like, if somebody misses, we'll give you the class. We'll teach you. And then maybe you can start teaching other people. And I was like, yeah, let's do it. So essentially, the last few weeks of school, I was like, I'm done with work. I quit. I didn't even show up no more. Because I was like, fuck this place. It's toxic as hell. I'm not going to do this. Fuck them. So I started like dedicating myself fully to school. And I quit work. So I quit work like 2 weeks before I did the test. So a lot was on the line. You know what I mean? Even though I had 3 tries, to me, it was a lot. I was gambling a lot. I've never been in this, in this zone in my life. I was a way different person in a sense. Like, I was so, I was so committed to what I was going to do. I wasn't here. Does that make sense? Like, I wasn't here. Santos was not here. Like, a robot was here. I was going to do this, like this, like this, like this, like this. I wasn't here. The only time I drove a truck was on the morning of July 23rd, 2019. I drove it from Long Beach to, Gardena, where people take the test, the driving test. That's the only time I drove on the street in a semi truck with a 30-foot trailer. So we get there, and I'm the first one up. And I recommend going first because you're gonna scare yourself. You're going to see people failing. Just get it over with.
That's, so go that's first. That's a good tip. Yeah. Okay.
And nobody wants to go first because they want to get a feel of how it is. No, go first. Fucking go straight in.
Órale.
So Santos, you're up. Cool. Let's do it. So I get in. I don't know the legality of saying how it worked out. I don't know. I don't want the guy to get in trouble. He accepted a bribe. No, I'm just like, no. No. So I got in. And you do your what's it called? Air brake test. Yeah. And then he asks you, hey, where's your hazards? Where's your turn signals? Where's your horns? What pressure is your air supposed to be in? What your oil, your voltage, which ones are trailer, whatever. I'm not good. I'm more hands-on. So he asked me, hey, where is your air pressure supposed to be like normally? Or air temperature, oil temperature, stuff like that. And I was like, 75? And he was like, are you sure? I'm like, yeah. Are you sure it's 75? yeah. So he's like,
you change your voice for him so he could let you slide or what?
Yeah, that's actually a psychological trick. Higher pitch makes you seem more innocent, more better, more nicer yeah. person. Yeah.
And then, oh man.
So he's just writing it down.
Wow.
And then he's, all right, let's do you're gonna do section C and coupling. And C was like all the to the back of the tires and then the coupling system, the fifth one and stuff. So I did that, whatever. Cool, you're going to do your maneuvers. So I did my maneuvers, like nothing, did them. And he's like, okay, park over there. We parked like on the side of the building. He's like, I'm going to go use the bathroom. After this, we're going to do the driving test. I was like, okay. I was so nervous and like so robotic that I was just like staring straight ahead.
Stayed put.
And then, what's it called? And so he was gone for like 10 minutes, and I was like, I need to use the bathroom. So I got out the truck, and as I'm walking, I guess across the parking lot, he's like, no, go back to your truck. And I'm like, okay. And then my instructor sees that, and they start chopping it up. He's like, hey, how you doing? Good morning, blah, blah, blah. How you been? They're friends. So he asked me, oh, where are you going? And I was like, oh, I need to use the bathroom. And the guy's like, oh, just go ahead, man. Just go ahead. So I use the bathroom. I cry in the bathroom for like a minute straight. I'm crying because I'm so like
nervous,
excited, scared, and just everything's on. To me, everything's on the line here. This is the make or break. And I go out. I put water in my face. I go out, and they're having a time. They're laughing, you know. He's like, "You ready?" I'm like, "Yeah, I'm ready." So we go. We get in. We drive out. We drive on the freeway. We went out down this road, and there's somebody crossing the road, like jaywalking. And it's a 6-speed, so you don't have to double clutch, you don't flow gears. It's a car, basically. So I'm slowing down. He's like, why are you slowing down? I'm like, there's somebody on the road. Hit him. What is he doing on the road? Hit him. And I'm like, okay. he already crossed the street. Mm-hmm. So everything's normal. As soon as I'm about to get into the parking lot of the DMV, for some reason, I turn too early. So into the driveway, there's cars parked right here, right next to the driveway. So I'm going to make a right into the driveway, and I turn too early. And he instantly, stop, grabs my wheel. He's like, stop, you're about to crash. I'm like, oh, man. And he's like, just go in. And I'm like, I'm fucking worthless. What in my head, the demons start. And we park. We're parked for 5 minutes, and he's just on his board writing. And I'm crying. I'm literally crying. Tears running down my... I'm like, did I pass? He just goes like this. Puts his finger out and just tells me... Basically telling me to be quiet. Yeah, shut the fuck up. We almost died. And I'm there. I'm shaking. I'm like literally like on the verge of like done. And I'm like, I've come this far and I failed. So
you got two more tries, bro.
Exactly. But, you know, and he's like, take this paper, and go inside. And I'm like, okay.
But no answer.
But no answer. Mm. So we're walking together. He's walking to like where everybody else at, but we're walking like 100 feet together. So I'm like,
but not together.
Yeah. So he's walking this way, I'm walking this way. Mm. And I'm like, did I pass? He's like, puts his finger out like this. He's like, and I'm like, fuck you. You know what I mean? So I go in and I go straight to the clerk and I give him the paper and I'm literally shaking because I'm like, I messed up. I'm a failure. So he's like, can I see your license? I'm like, yeah, here you go.
We're going to take this shit away.
So he took it and I'm like wondering what's going on. You know, I'm like, oh. I'm like, what happened? A minute later, he's like, okay, your new license is gonna come in the mail in about a week. And I'm like, what? Did I pass? And he's like, he gets scared. And he's like, yeah. I'm like, oh my God, thank you so much. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Everybody's looking at me inside all weird and stuff. I'm like, oh my God. And then, yeah, mm-hmm. So I passed. But that was the easy part, man. That was the easy part. I'll tell you that. That was the easy part.
As far as the whole journey or like, right?
Yeah. I always say that. That's the easy part because
in the moment, it feels like.
Yeah, in the moment, feels crazy hard. But once you will learn. You will learn. And yeah, so I passed. I got my license. I was so happy, dude. I was so happy. Called my girl. Called my mom. You know, and I was just like, yo, I did it, you know. Yeah. And then nobody tells you how hard it is when you don't know nobody, how hard it is to get work. You know, because literally that same day, I go to Wilmington and I'm going to every yard. I'm talking about like 100 yards. I'll name them all. PacSun, or no, Pack Anchor, Valencia. Mm-hmm. There's like a 310 Transport. There's a bunch of ones. I went to all of them. I'm walking around.
But at this point, you're a driver. You don't, it's probably a stupid question, but you don't have the truck plans yet, right?
No,
you're going in with the thought of being a driver,
essentially. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. I didn't think about being an owner op
from the get-go.
Oh, no. Okay.
It was more of a transformative decision, like fuck this, I'm gonna level
yeah,
up.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't think about owning a truck. I just thought I'm gonna drive a truck, somebody else's truck, and I'm gonna make all this money and
yeah,
whoop-de-doo. But okay, you know, so going back to the story, I walked around the day I passed my test. I went to Wilmington. I walked around all of Wilmington asking for work. And every single one out of 100 from 100, everybody told me, you're too young. You have no experience. You're probably going to have to go to Iowa and work for like RO England or whatever, Swift. Mm-hmm. You know, they're the only ones that are going to pick you up. And I'm like, fuck. All 100 people told me no. Where Harbor Trucking School was, there was Harbor Division. That same yard. They were in the same yard. So I was like, that was my last, like, that was my last. Like, I was like, I have nowhere else. I'm going to see. The next day, I was going to call Swift. I was going to call ROK, whatever.
Yeah.
And I went to Harbor Division. I walked in. I talked to dispatchers. And I was like, hey, you know, I just got my license. I'm looking for work. And they told me straight up, we can't give you work. You got to talk to the owner ops. As I'm walking out the door, I'll say his name because I respect him highly. Enrique is walking in. And some of you know Enrique. Very charismatic, very cool guy. He's walking in. He hears me. He hears me saying, I need work, blah, blah, blah. I'm walking out down the stairs. I'm walking out to the yard crying because I'm like, dude, this is no joke. I hear from behind me, hey, you looking for work? And I'm like, yeah, I'm, you know, I just got my license, man. I'm looking for it. He's like, you got any experience? I was like, yeah, like the trucks over there. I went to that school. He's like, okay. He's like, what's your name? I'm like, oh, I'm Santos, you know, Santos Hernandez. He's like, okay, show me what you know. I'm like, okay. So he gives me his keys. His truck's right there. He's like, show me what you know. So I go in the truck and I don't know anything.
It's a whole different view when you get in the big truck.
And it's a 10-speed. I learned on a 6-speed, which is like a car transmission. So I'm like, okay. So he's right. I'm like, damn. there's so many gauges here, you know? So I turn on the truck. I put the clutch in. I turn it on. And I turn on the truck. He's like, okay. He's like, I'm being a passenger. I want you to drive around the yard. I'm like, okay. So as you can expect, all you hear is, I'm like, the clutch doesn't work. Mm-hmm. He's like, you don't know how to shift into a 10? I was like, no, I learned on a 6. He's like, you have to double clutch. I'm like, what? So he's like, you don't know how to drive at a 10 speed? I was like, no. He's like, oh my God. He's like, do you know how to back up and stuff like that? I'm like, yeah. He's like, okay. He's like, I'll tell you what. He's like, I'm looking for a driver. My other driver left. He's like, I'll tell you what. I'll give you a chance. I'll give you my key. I'll give you a chance. And when you're ready, you can drive for me. He gave me the key, man. He gave me the key that same day. Just like that. Didn't know who I was. Mm. Didn't know if I was a criminal. Just gave me a spare key and was like, I want you to come every day. I work from 5 a.m. to 3 in the afternoon. He's like, from that time, you can drive my truck. He's like, don't leave the yard. Don't hook up to nothing. Just drive my truck around. For like a week, I came every single day. And I had his number. I would tell him, hey, Enrique, I'm coming to work. I'm coming to drive. He's like, okay, go ahead. Mm-hmm. So I literally gave me the keys and trusted me fully. And I get in the truck and I'm remembering what he told me to, like, just put it in second. And I put it in second, then you go. It's a big truck. You're moving everywhere. I'm not used to it. I learned on a small truck. So I'm creeping. And then I'm trying to double clutch into third. He would float gears. Everybody I know floats gears. So I would be in second the whole yard. I'll be in second, you know? And so I started asking people, hey, how do you switch to third? How do you switch gears? And they would be like, well, you hit a RPM and then you just move it. So I tried doing that. Oh, I went into third. Okay. Let's try fourth.
Yeah.
Now fifth. But then how do I go to 6 and 7 and 8 and 9 and 10? So people would see me just driving circles in the yard and I would ask them questions. Hey, how do you downshift? Oh, well, you just accelerate and flow it back down. And I'll be like, what the how do you do that? But little by little, in a week or two, I learned. And then going to high range. So during this time, on the weekends, I would come with Enrique to the yard and he would be maintaining his trucks. And I was there with him. He expected me to be there. And I would be there. And he would give me advice. He would, like, give me guidance on like trucking and stuff like that. And you know, I would go, like, there was a situation where I would just go with him to, like, do truck, I guess, how do you say, truck mandados, like, mm-hmm. to fix it. Oh, I gotta go get a part, let's go in the truck. So I really learned. It took me like 3 weeks to finally work, but I really learned a lot from him and just that experience. We had a bit of a falling out, because he you know, he had situations in his life, and there was no communication between his family and us. He had two drivers, so I'm very loyal. If you mess with me, I mess with you, dude. Like, we're like this, right? We're tight. I sound weird, but I'm very loyal.
Yeah.
So I just kind of felt I'm not gonna say disrespected, but desaninado. Like, he told me, you know, you're like a son. You know what I mean? And I took that very deeply, and I respect him to this day. You know, he had his thing, and I didn't get paid, but, you know, how do I word it? I didn't get paid. He basically disappeared, and, you know, he had some issues. I was told a certain thing about him, and it turned out that it was something else. And I just felt like, dude, what the fuck? Like, you know, whatever. It's no big deal. We're not family. We're not nothing. It sounds weird, but, you know, I was, I was led on to, in a sense of, go against him. Fuck him. Let's get our money. now that I'm older, now that I'm an owner op, I understand certain things you can't control. And at the end of the day, I have no remorse against him. If anything, like I said, I have the most respect for him, because if it wasn't for Enrique, I wouldn't be here, dude. I wouldn't have a truck. I wouldn't have a job. I don't know where my life would be if it wasn't for that one person, for that one door that opened when 100 other doors said no. You know what I mean? So I am ultimately thankful for him, because if it wasn't for him, who knows where I would be. You know, he took a chance on me, literally not knowing who I was, who you know, no, nothing, was like, here, take the keys, you know. And it's you know, I respect him a lot. I seen him the other day and he saw a ghost, basically, you know. But I have no hard feelings against him. I was led on to go against him, but you know, like, I was like, you know what, fuck this. I'm not going against him, because this dude gave me everything, in a sense. Gave me the key to my future.
That's good. You know what I mean? You see that.
Yeah. I mean, 2 days ago, I got hit up by the guy who was like, go against him, you know? And I was like, you know, I'm good. Because I'm not against him. If anything, I owe him a lot. You know what I mean?
That's a very good story.
Yeah. So I started with him. From there, I just been here just every day, you know, every day. And
people like that, they something about them, I think their love for trucking, that maybe they see themselves in the newbie, you know, and remember what it was like. But it takes a lot of dedication too, and investment of your time. Like, time is precious. You don't just give it away. And what I notice sometimes with people like that, they invest a lot of time in people.
Yeah.
And then, especially the driver scene, right? Like, it's a risk getting a driver, because you invest time in training them. And then it doesn't mean they're going to stay with you forever.
No, he wanted me to sign a contract with him. Mm-hmm. And I told him straight up, I'm not going to sign a contract with you, but you got my word that I'm with you. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I'm with you. You got my word. Because he would tell me, yeah, drivers are a piece of shit. They always fuck me over, blah, blah, blah. And that's them. That's not me. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And he gave me a lot of knowledge, man. A lot of knowledge. Like, I didn't have a father growing up. So, like, for somebody like that to, like, take me under the wing, like, really meant a lot to me. You know what I mean? And it's just my respect, you know? You know, I have no hard feelings against him. And like I said, if anything, I owe him. You know,
if you ever see him again, tell him what's up with the Contineros podcast.
Yeah, that guy. People know him. People know him, Enrique. He's different. He's definitely got he's different. I can't speak for him. So, but he's a very he has a lot of good stories. Yeah, definitely. He's a character, but a very good person. A very good person. You know. And he saved me once. I crashed in the K-line. Mm-hmm. It was like the first week, too. It was the first week of trucking. I went to K-line. And my dumbass was going to C. And I went to G. And what's it called? And I turned too early, I guess, into my spot. And my chassis clipped a longshoreman truck, a little
Four Rangers. You learned from the fucking end of your test, bro.
Yeah.
That's the scenario that happened.
That's exactly the scenario that happened. So I clipped it, and thankfully the guy was in the stacks, you know, checking the containers. And I hop out, I'm like, I'm crying, and I'm like, oh my god, what the fuck. So I call him, hey, you know, I crashed the truck. What happened? Did you flip over? You know, I'm like, no, my chassis clipped a little Ford Ranger at the port. Mm-hmm. He's like, god damn it. He's like, just call me back when what they say. So, yeah, like, they took down the information and everything. And if you know the trucks they have, their little Ford Rangers beat the fuck up. Piss jugs and everything. Yeah. And, yeah, so, you know, the lady, the clerk came, she called me down. She's like, look, we all start. I was like, it's my first week. I'm so sorry. She's like, it's okay. We're all there. We're all been there. It happened. I go to a spot. I'm in GG 20. I was supposed to go to CC 20. So, yeah.
Interesting day.
Yeah, very interesting day. So he, I guess he talked to somebody at the port, was like, look, he'll pay. We don't have to go to insurance. These trucks aren't even registered. Let's just fix ourselves. You know, it's a mistake, rookie mistake. Everybody does it. You know, let's fix each other. So we came to an agreement, you know, we'll pay for the damages and stuff like that. So he saved me from that, you know. Yeah.
Cool. A lot of notes to take here on, you know, paying it forward and, yep, and helping other guys. And because we all start somewhere, and I love to see it.
Yeah.
Is there anything else that you would like to add as we're at the end of our discussion? A tip?
Keep on trucking. Keep on rocking the free world. And be grateful. Be grateful. Be thankful. Don't burn bridges. And just have a blueprint. Like, write up a blueprint of what you want. You know what I mean? What do you want in this? You know? And if you're not happy with this, then try other things. I used to do containers, overweight and regular. But now I'm doing dry van, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah. I'm doing dry van now, and it's a whole different game, you know? Running the ports on our manifest or, like, log, we would put, you know, local work. So I never learned how to do the logs. Now I have to do the logs because I'm driving on the freeways. I'm driving out San Diego, up north, whatever. So it's a whole different game, and it's a whole different hustle, too. You know, wait, it's a different scene. You know what I mean? It's very cool. Very cool. I like it, you know. And it's if you don't like one thing, you got a truck, man. Go try another thing. If you don't like that, you got a truck. Remember, go try another thing. You know what I mean? There's so many avenues.
There's more right than containers. Like,
yeah, exactly. Some people are stuck with the port, and you don't need the port. Even though it's a big, big market here, you don't have to do it. There's other things.
Okay.
It's slow, but go do something else. Don't be like, well, this and that. Well, what's your wallet looking like? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. What those bills look like, you know?
Like, you need to get the fuck up and go to work. That's what they look like.
Yeah. And wives and girlfriends are expensive. You know what I mean? Hey, baby, I need my nails. Hey, baby, I need this. Oh, well, my friend has this purse. That must be nice.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Pero eres troquero bélico.
Yeah. So, yeah, just keep going. Have a blueprint and just be grateful, be thankful, and, you know, don't be a dick.
Where can they find you?
On Instagram, TikTok. My Instagram is Santos_tonic. You'll see my page. I have my truck on there and stuff. And I'm like on TikTok too. It's Santos Tonic. No underscore.
Okay.
I was going to look it up. But yeah, Santos Tonic. And like I said, I have, you know, videos of my truck and whatnot. That's you'll find me right there.
Vice City,
yeah. You'll see me around. Purple and amber lights, the watermelon lights. Yeah, it's cool, man. Pulling up somewhere and people are just breaking their necks. I have a sound system in there, so it's cool. It's a pride thing, you know. Yeah. It's not being prideful, but you take pride in you're, you know, we don't have an office, right? So we don't have an office, but essentially we do, the cab, but
yeah,
our truck represents us. That's the first thing a customer sees, a person sees, and a warehouse sees. So if they see a dirty ass truck, no bumper, they're like,
yeah.
But they see a nice truck, I'm like, not respectful, but just...
Do you take it serious?
Just take it more serious, you know? And if you see trucks that are all hooked up and stuff, you know that guy's about it. Not saying normal trucks are not about it, but you know this guy, damn, this guy's taking pride in his stuff. He wants to be seen.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So...
Let you know.
Yeah, get at it.
All right, man. Thank you so much for your visit.
Yeah.
And I hope you get better from that tosecita.
Oh, man.
And we'll catch you guys on the next one.
Right on, man.
Peace.